Thank you so much, Rick. Good morning, good morning. Recognize that we actually were at Gordon Conwell together many years ago, and we don't have to say how many, do we have to, Rick? just a few. And we've moved from children to grandchildren, which is a wonderful thing. And this morning I want to focus in on transforming relationships. For I believe that the Bible teaches clearly that one of the chief means in which God utilizes to make you like himself is relationships. And just pause with me for a moment as I acknowledge the teacher. Father, thank you for allowing me to be a sovereign doorstop so you, King of Glory, can come in. And I know that you, Holy Spirit, are the teacher. Your word was written, you breathed, and it came about. We hold it, but we want it to have flesh on it. So I pray, as I've prayed thousands of times for congregations whom I love, and this congregation whom you love 10,000 times more than any person could ever love it. May your saints be equipped, may your kingdom be extended, and may there be more lovers of Jesus on the planet. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to focus on one verse, verse 17, and that should be coming up in just a moment. And often we think about this passage in 1 John chapter 4, and it talks about having perfect love, casting out all fear. And if this is your favorite verse to find pastoral comfort, please stay with it. Keep it close to your heart. But I'd like to give you the context that it really talks more about eternal confidence than it does pastoral comfort. And I hope by God's grace to be able to make that clear from his word. I have included an outline. And Pastor Rick, being a good Berean, did point out I made a mistake on the outline, so I wanted to point that out to you up front, and all the rest of you, please be Berean as well. When I have the foundation for our confidence in Christ is 1 John 1, it's supposed to be 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14, not 1 John 1, 12 through 14. You see, the beloved Apostle John is writing to a group of Christians who are besieged by something called Gnosticism. And they were eroding the confidence that Christians have by claiming they have a special knowledge. And you'll see in that section that we just highlighted from 1 John chapter 2, I write to you who have known. And so this knowing is a very big thing. And by chapter 5, he's writing the assurance, I write these things to you that you might know that you have eternal life. And so this passage that we looked in, that's in chapter 4, is in this whole understanding of knowing God and being known by him. Now, I want us to think about the ways in which God makes us into likeness of Christ. We had the privilege of having 380 senior pastors go through a program which I led at a leadership center at a seminary where I taught. And we used Richard Foster, a celebration of discipline. And there were all kinds of methodologies that they might use. And we ended up having 24 categories and two major groups of pouring and purging, meaning that sometimes God has to get rid of some things in our life to make us more like him. And other times we have to have fresh encounters with Christ himself, that he reveals himself to us personally in such a way that we're different from that encounter. But if you're to study the Bible cover to cover, I'd suggest to you that there's four major ways in which God forms us or transforms us or takes us and makes us something that we could not make ourselves. The first, of course, would be the Word of God. And you hold the Word of God very highly in this church, and God will honor you for doing so. The Word, the Spirit. I, as a pastor, am totally irrelevant, because anything of supernatural value that's going to occur is going to occur because the Holy Spirit does it. You know what? I can't even change myself. How about you? I can't sanctify myself. I can't make myself more like Christ. The Spirit of God must do that work from the inside out. So the work of the Spirit. The third area that's clear is that God uses people. Transforming relationships, and that'll be a focus this morning. And then the last, of course, is circumstances. So it is the Word, the Spirit, people, and circumstances. Now, I just want you to think for a moment, is there anyone in your life right now that God is using to make you more like Christ? Who is that person? If I had the opportunity, I might just do the 10-second drill. I've done this often, and I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want you to think for a few moments. And all apology, I'm a big man of the word, but I'm going to give you 10 seconds, and I'm going to ask you, could you name 3 sermons that dramatically transformed your life? You ready? Do not say it out loud. Ready? Okay, go. 5 seconds. 8, 9, 10 seconds. Now, I'm sure some of you can. I'm gonna have you raise your hand in just a moment. I'm going to give you another exercise in the next 10 seconds. I want you to name 3 Christians that dramatically transformed or changed your life. Get ready, get set, and go. 5 seconds. 8, 9, and 10. Now, if you would indulge me, if you're willing, how many people can name 3 sermons that dramatically changed your life in 10 seconds? Raise your hand quickly. I'm not going to be getting your social security number. I'm not doing anything like that. Yep, there's a 3, there's 4, there's 5. Okay, now let's do the other exercise. How many people in 10 seconds can name 3 Christians that dramatically changed your life? Look around. Look around, folks. For you see, the way that we are actually formed in the image of Christ, the Word of God is real, but it's relationships that begin that process. Sometimes they are wows, and sometimes they are ows. And as you are going through this process right now, God is sovereignly seeing and looking at West Church to see as you go through this transition, will it transform you? Will it change you? Will it make this church a place where your next senior pastor will come and say, that's the kind of community I would love to be in? So I want us to look at this passage of Scripture and ask several basic questions. What does the Bible say that we will have on the day of judgment? This is 1 John 4:16-17. It says that we'll have what? Confidence. And this is not talking about pastoral comfort. This means that you will have eternal confidence. And that word paraseia means bold, freely, assured, resting, because of the work of Christ, not because of our works. We will have confidence on the day of judgment. Now, why? It says it right here in the text. Why will we have that kind of confidence? Because in this world, we are like Jesus. We're like Christ. It comes right from this passage. So we'll have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we will be like Christ. There's Christ-likeness that is being developed through all the means that God will use. Now here's the question. Where does that kind of Christ-likeness, where does that get developed? Move up just a phrase. This is how love is made complete among us. That is talking about relationships. It's talking about community. It's talking about being the church and not just doing church. It's talking about the carpool. It's talking about the locker room and the lunchroom. It's talking about your classmate or your roommate. It's talking about people that you rub shoulders with. You just raised your hand a few moments ago. By God's grace, you and I can become one of those people that are a living incarnation of Christ, that our life actually makes a huge difference in those around us. Not only will we have confidence of this grand hope, of this beauty of Christ, it says in that day, we will be with him. Now let's be honest, there is no area that brings greater joy, greater confirmation, greater stamp of approval from the Holy Spirit when you are living outside of yourself and you know that Jesus is living through you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. But let's be honest, there's no area that brings greater disappointment, failure, or shame than that of the area of relationships when we have been cross, when we've been rude, when we've been self-centered. Because relationships are the crucible of crucifixion of our flesh, but it is also the grand trophy of grace, which God says, this is a jewel, this is a son, this is a daughter of mine. And to be honest with you, even though starting seminary 40 years ago, this has been a long, tough lesson for me to understand. For you know, I thought the church was more about just belief system and programs and about what we could do for God. And I think I lived a long period of time like that. My dad is a workaholic and my mom's a foodaholic that made me a forkaholic. And the church was a wonderful place, you know, fuel through the potlucks for more programs. And yet God in his mercy began to awaken me that it was not as much about what I was doing for God, but rather as much as what God wanted to do through relationships to make me like God. Now, I pastored a church in Foxborough, Massachusetts, just down the road a bit, and we had our two previous senior pastors that split the church and started the church in next town. I'll tell you a little bit more about that story in a minute. But have you ever had a relationship with someone that you just can't make right? You do everything you possibly can. And our choir director and our chairman of the elders at that point decided they were going to leave the church, and I would meet with him and try to figure out what was wrong. And I said, you know, if we've done anything wrong, let us know. If there's anything we could do to make things right, I'd meet with her, and she'd say, no, the problem's my husband. I'd meet with her husband. And finally they left and didn't really give us an explanation. So it's about 3 years later, I get an invitation to come back and preach for one of our senior saints whom we both deeply loved. And I'm getting prepared, sitting here looking at some scripture, and all of a sudden she comes through the door to prepare to play the piano. And I had no knowledge that she was actually going to be there, and she had no knowledge that I was invited back, but we haven't really talked to each other for over 3 years. And so it was December 12th, I remember it distinctly, and I went up to her and I said, is there peace between us? And I grabbed her hands. We used to be very close, and she began to shake. A little tear came down her mouth, and her lips were tense and began to tremble. She said, yes, there's peace, but there's great pain. And I thanked her for the good work she'd done with music and orchestration of choirs and teams, the plays we'd put on, the community that we'd reached, and all the other things that we had done. But I said, and I believe this was from the Holy Spirit, I said, you know, I believe that we were great performers, but horrible relators. We are great performers for God, but horrible relators. And I believe that God is going to hold us accountable as much for how we related with one another as much as what we accomplished for him. Now, maybe just pause for a moment and ask yourself the question as you go through this transition. Are you kind of focusing on getting out of this as quick as possible? Or are you focusing on what God might want to do in the process of preparing the place for relationships that would look more and more like his son? So let me give you the first point, that relationships hold the most potential for us to become like God according to his own definition of himself. Now you may have to listen to that again. Relationships hold the most potential for us to become like God according to his own definition of himself, because in this passage it says what? God is love. It's coming right from this text. Now, could God say he has power? Couldn't he? I mean, he makes whole of creation like a businessman takes some change at the end of the day and throws it on a coffee table. He calls the stars by name. He has all power. Or God could have said that he was all knowledge. He knows everything about us, the beginning from the end. He doesn't choose to use that vocabulary. He could have said that he is perfect law. Could he have not? Couldn't he have said he is perfect justice or perfect creativity or perfect imagination? He chooses not to do that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Beloved John, of course, the son of thunder, became a lover. inspired by the Holy Spirit, it says that God is love. So pause for a moment and ask yourself the question, are your relationships shaping you in such a way that you're becoming more like Christ? Now let me give you the second point I have out of this text, and it's very simple and it's very clear, and it is coming right from the passage. Is that relationships confirm your conversion and give you confidence on the day of judgment. Relationships confirm your conversion and give you confidence on the day of judgment. Well, where am I getting that from? Well, right here from the text, confidence on the day of judgment, but this is being complete among us, which are relationships. So let me ask you the question. Have you ever had the experience in your Christian life where something occurs and you know that you know that you know that it is God at work in you and you're not doing it? That you have a totally different reaction. You know yourself well enough to say, you know what, I'd like to respond in this way. And all of a sudden, you don't know what's happening. There's another voice coming from inside, and it's the voice of the Spirit, and something that's so counterintuitive to who you are and who you might respond and what you might want to say. And you know that it's Jesus. See, those kinds of encounters confirm the fact that Christ is alive in your life. And the more that Christ is alive in your life, the more you know that you have confidence on the day of judgment. And so back to that church in Foxborough. When I went to that church, we had 33 people, and 13 of them said, I'm never going to call you or another person pastor for the rest of my life. And I felt like saying, well, you know, I've been through graduate school. I have a Master of Divinity degree. I have 5 years' experience. And what the heck do you know? But the Spirit of God in the moment said, you don't have to call me pastor. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to live among you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to give a witness to the resurrection when your family members pass into glory. We're going to see people get saved. We're going to see people sent to the mission field. We're going to see people get set free from drugs and alcohol through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if at some point you'd like to call me pastor, that's fine. For right now, you can just call me Gene. And you know, in that moment, I recognized that there was something going on inside of me that was not created by my own energy and was so different than what my response might have been, that I knew that it was Christ in me, the hope of glory. And when you see that living reality of Christ in you, do you know what I'm speaking of? Have you had that? Maybe not that exact encounter, but you know the Spirit of God is alive, and you know that something is going on inside of you that you cannot explain, that you could not create, that's different than yourself, and you know that it's Christ. Well, what the Apostle John is talking about is that we have confidence on the day of judgment because in some kind of relationship we're like Christ, and you and I know that it is Him in you and not you yourself. And the third point that I would like to point out from this passage is that relationships reveal our need to grow in grace and force us to fresh encounters of the Spirit's power. Relationships reveal our need to grow in grace and force us to fresh encounters of the Holy Spirit's power. There's probably no area that has caused you more pain than the area of a relationship that's not right. There's probably nothing more disappointing as a Christian than to think I'm supposed to love everyone and recognize that you don't. And how much more disappointing it is in the Church of Jesus Christ. That word complete means being perfected. It's a wonderful word in the original. It's the word that we have, teleste. It means to be completed, to be made perfect, to accomplish, to progress. In fact, there's a sense of prophetic fulfillment, of divine intention. And so God is up to something in these relationships of yours and mine, way beyond which we can create. Nothing that does not come out of a program, nothing that can help one person do it, has to help it through him, through us. I remember, did you ever have those little Bible boxes at dinner time? Well, our youngest son is now 26. One day he said, I can do something that God can't do. And he was, all his other older and brothers and sisters thought we had developed a little heretic. So we said, what is that, David? He says, I can lie. Very profound. Sometime later, he got this little scripture. It says, which we just read earlier, if you say that you love God, whom you've not seen, and hate your brother, whom you have seen, you are a liar. The love of God is not in you. And very shrewdly, at 4 years old, he says, does this count for sisters too? We said, yes, David, it counts for sisters too. Relationships reveal our need to grow in grace and force us to fresh encounters with the Spirit's power. So where are you this morning? Where are you in that journey of glory in which you have seen that God has done some things in you that you know comes from him? And where are you this morning where you see those areas of conflict in relationships? I'm going to ask you one simple thing. How are your reactions? C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity says this, we begin to notice, besides our particular sinful acts, our sinfulness. We begin to be alarmed not only about what we do, but about who we are. This may sound rather difficult, so I'll try to make it clear for my own case. When it comes to my evening prayers, I try to reckon up the sins of the day, as Pastor Rick mentioned, we should be aware of. 9 times out of 10, the most obvious one is some sin against charity. I've sulked, I've snapped, I've sneered, I've snubbed, or I've stormed. But the excuse that immediately springs to my mind was that the provocation was so sudden and unexpected, I was caught off guard, I did not have time to collect myself. You ever say that? Now, that may be in extenuating circumstances in regard to those particular acts. They obviously would have been better if they were deliberate and premeditated. Ah, watch, Lewis is going to get us. On the other hand, what a man does when he's taken off guard is best evidence for what kind of man he is. Surely what pops out before a man has time to put on his disguise is the truth. A very earthy illustration. If there's rats in your cellar, you're most likely to see them if you go in very suddenly. But the suddenness does not create the rats. It only prevents them from hiding. Do we need some fresh grace today? You need some fresh grace as we prepare for the table. As our brothers come to service, let me give the summary line very simply. When you have been perfected in love through transforming relationships, you will possess true Christ-likeness. Because of this, you will have confidence when you see God face to face. When you have been perfected in love through transforming relationships, you will possess true Christ-likeness. Because of this, you'll have confidence when you see God face to face. Let us sing about the cross and join together in hymn 148, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.